This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Far circle, Quinn gets it back again. Shot's not there. Joki Haru scored from here in the tournament. Scores! He did it again!
Operation 10 straight, looking to advance again tonight. Big night. Pins and needles. Right? Everybody's pins and needles.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm engaged. I'm invested. I was stressed at the end of that Ducks game. I'm sure I'll be stressed at some points during this game.
Yeah, what's not to be, invested in? Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I am live from home. Thursdays I'm at home. I've been working on my setup. I got a fancy mic now. What do you think? You like it?
I do like it. Yeah, it's not bad. It's fancier. Very professional looking.
Yes, thanks to our engineer, Al, who came out and installed it for me.
We get some good lighting in the room in there, it looks like.
I'm working on, the lighting. Yeah. We got to work on that. It's no, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport's books behind them. There's no mini
shelf.
Football, anything like that. I haven't gotten into a fist fight with Jordan Schultz, so I'm still working on my street cred out here, doing what I can. Anyway, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Brian Koziel is set to join us on the Western Hotline. Do we have Brian ready to rock? For some Sabres and for also Tita Green's debut. Brian joins us on the Western Hotline ahead of what is hopefully the Sabres' third consecutive win. Brian, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning.
How do you feel about subscribing to Operation 10 Straight Wins to get the Sabres back in the mix here? Because they've got a lot of work to do, and I know Lindy's got that plan out of 7 out of every 10 points. I like Operation 10 Straight because I feel like it adequately expresses just how difficult it will be to get back in. But we can also have fun with it because, they are playing much better of late.
They definitely are. And why not get greedy, right? I mean, they need to after what has been some bad points. And, of course, the low point of that 13-game winless streak during the season. Out of all these teams that are in the wild card race, other than Detroit, the Sabres have been playing the best out of any of them. So they have gained ground overall, even though you still sit there and look and say, well, they're still 11 back. That's kind of what they've been for basically the last month. But they're creeping closer to a clump of teams that they can pass, and the games in hand can give you some more excitement about maybe them over the next week or so passing 2, 3, 4 teams. So that piece is in there. Beyond the fact of how maybe small the probability it actually is that they can really move up a lot here, if you're just watching this team, they do look better. And a lot of the deficiencies from earlier in the season that people were getting frustrated by watching this team, they seem to have solved a decent amount of them. And that includes how to handle the end of games. We know this year they've been incredible at first periods, but they've been terrible finishing games, whether it's been holding on to a lead or maybe trying to get that elusive tying goal to force overtime. They haven't been good at that at all, but they've been figuring out ways to be much better in the third period. I feel like anytime there's been any sort of adversity or pressure on them late in games over the last month or so, they've handled it much better. Lindy Ruff the other night, I know fans are probably sick of hearing this, but he said, look, I'm seeing it, I'm feeling it. The growth from this team of how they're able to handle adversity is much better than what it was. Unfortunately, they're 56 games in, and some will say, well, you needed to figure that out 5 years ago. So I get it. I understand why still, you know, ultimately it's a results-oriented business and they're sitting there in last. But the 10-in-a-row thing could definitely get them back in it. Gotten some help from Ottawa, who's fallen back. There's just so many teams that they're going to need to play 500 or worse hockey for this to happen that, to me, I feel like that is almost more what feels like impossible than it actually is maybe what you're hoping for, which is for Buffalo to win 10 in a row. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think the likelihood of that is higher than maybe all of these teams playing at their current clip or worse in order for this to happen, for Buffalo to maybe actually get to that second wild card spot.
Yeah, it won't work if Ottawa wins 9 in a row at the same time the Sabres win their next 8 in a row. So that's right. It is whatever. It's a tall task, and you know, it's not lost on me that 13-game losing streak. Brian, I think let me back up. I think there's one thing people are afraid of, and that's that they actually finish well and miss by 5 points, and then kind of sit still and act like, well, it was one bad month really that did it, and Dahlin was out, so we should have been a playoff team. I mean, Sabres fans are going to want action, of course, and they're not going to want them to just kind of sit back and accept another season that ultimately is a lost one.
I think the Dahlin point is very, very underrated and under-talked about, Jeremy. I think you're right. They were awful when he was out. Their record, points percentage-wise, when he plays, I know, would be good enough for them to be right in the race or in the postseason. I know, you know, Paul has said it to you guys, if you take out that 13-game win streak and take the points percentage from the games in front and the games behind, they'd be in the playoffs. So there's something to be said of having Dahlin out of the lineup, that what a huge impact that had on this team. You know, I think overall, besides Dahlin, yes, they lost Tage for a couple of games, but they were able to handle it well. I know Lindy Ruff thinks Jordan Greenway's return is going to be a big impact. We know he seems to be a guy that really kind of brings that toughness and that energy and that willingness to go to the net that kind of, I would say, motivates the rest of the team to do the same. So he's been a pleasant surprise since returning, even though he's not a huge point producer, but I know that the team and Lindy Ruff really values his return. I mean, you look at what you want here, 10 in a row. Tonight could maybe be the night that if you can get it, you could start to believe it, because they've got games upcoming that maybe you'd say are gettable. There's one team that you have to pass at some point, and that's Montreal. Well, you've got them for a home-and-home this weekend. You'd like to think you can beat them. Montreal's a minus 24 goals against. They haven't been playing great as of late. They've only won 3 of their last 10. You have the Sharks after that, who aren't good. So tonight's a tough one. I think if you get tonight, well, now you're on 3. I feel like I could see 6 or 7 very quickly here coming if they're able to get this tonight. I think this is a building they're very, very bad in. I think they're winless in their last 8. I want to say 0-6-2, I saw a stat, is their last 8. So they don't play great in Carolina. Carolina has been playing very good this year. They're in a battle with New Jersey right now for second, so in the Metro. So if you get tonight, I could see maybe where your operation 10 in a row here, maybe we could have a real conversation about it.
It's just it needs a little more belief. Joe, for I don't want to jump on you. I felt like you had something to say there. Because I have a trivia question about this that I feel like you would have had for us, which is...
I was looking, like, when's the last time they won in Carolina?
The last Sabres goalie to win a game in Carolina is...
Oh, this is going
to
be good. Chad Johnson.
That is correct.
Wow.
What is wrong with you?
Eight seasons, you know? It's in like an estimation of that time period.
That's right.
And he was here twice.
Just throwing a name out there. But Chad Johnson, wow.
Chad Johnson.
Yeah. Good, very good call. Anyway, all right. Well, we've got the Sabres and Canes tonight, Brian. We also got you on to talk about a little golf because Tee to Green returns this week, which, you know, snow's melting and we're getting closer to golf season and you guys are ready to fire it up.
Yeah, we're super pumped. This is the first of consecutive shows. I think we have 28 consecutive weeks upcoming here of Tee to Green on Saturday morning, starting at 7. We go all the way through the NFL season. So when Tee to Green's done, the Bills will be ready to kick things off. We're going to be at Golf Dojo this week, their Niagara Falls Boulevard location. And then we're going to be across a whole bunch of golf courses, a lot of our usual stops, some new ones this year, and golf facilities across Western New York. Every Saturday morning, 7 to 8 on WGR right here. So we're looking forward to getting it going. If you haven't tuned in before, myself, Kevin Sylvester, who works PGA Tour Radio, gets a lot of good insight on the PGA Tour. Our PGA Pro, Jeff Mitis, really, really does a great job breaking down people's swing. He's always got a good opinion on things. Our Jeff Blank will be contributing to us on social media. He does a lot if you're into betting on golf, which is fun to do because you can do it each day. He does all of our social media work at TVG Buffalo Silver. The whole team's back. We're really excited about it, and hope everybody can start tuning in on Saturday mornings.
And one topic – sorry, Joe. One topic you guys will have going forward is there's been plenty of talk about the reunification of golf and, you know, the belief that it's very, very close. It has not happened yet. I don't know if you've heard anything of the latest or any sort of timeline, but we're all kind of waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, there's been some other indications that maybe it's close. Brooks Koepka was at the TGL at a TGL match this week, and it seems as though that the players that maybe used to separate themselves from being seen together are now making a little bit more public appearances. There was one social media post from a golf report that said that Bryson DeChambeau his contract with LIV is up and that he's looking to come back to the PGA Tour and is hoping that part of this reunification thing is that it can be next season. So that might be something to keep an eye on at some point. It sounds like the sides are softening. They want to work together. They know they need to with the money. Ultimately, again, this, you know, as we've said before, this all comes down to money and making it work. But I mean, they're meeting with the White House to see if government-wise they can this can work, and that if, you know, if the Attorney General is not going to look at this merger possibly and say that this can't happen. So it seems as though it's finally coming here very shortly. We should get an announcement, I would think, at some point soon. I think in the end, we all just want to see, you know, the Koepkas and the DeChambeaus playing against the Schefflers and the McIlroys of the world more often than just the four majors a year, because it's great drama. I mean, last year, I know we talked about it a lot, when DeChambeau and McIlroy were going at it at the U.S. Open, I mean, that was, I know the three of us, we were debating, and the next morning was, you know, when's the last time a golf tournament was that good? So hopefully we're going to be seeing it. I would expect that we're going to get more and more details soon. I know they're just legally waiting to get everything approved before they can make an announcement.
Very good.
This week in the PGA Tour is a better field than last week?
Yeah, it's not an elevated event. It's a little bit better. It's down in West Palm Beach, PGA West, the Cognizant Classic. It was the Honda Classic forever. They just changed sponsors here over the last year or so. Jordan Spieth, maybe the biggest name playing, although he hasn't been playing still very as consistent as he wants to. He says his wrist is still bothering him that he's had issues with. Shane Lowry is playing in this tournament. He's been playing well as of late. Billy Horschel, who lives close, is playing in this tournament. So, you know, I would say it's a better field than last week's Mexico Open, which was a fun playoff, even though it was probably two players that nobody had ever heard of last week when Brian Campbell won. But I don't know if you guys saw it.
Brian, I was dialed into that playoff with some betting interests.
It hit the tree and then came back in. We've all had that break go our way at least once in our lives, I'm sure.
Well, before that, in the first playoff hole, the Podgy? I can't remember the other guy that was in the playoff. He hits it in the stands on hole one, right? And, like, near it and survives. Like, it didn't feel like you were getting the two best golfers in the world that were going at it.
Yeah, I mean, Campbell's been around forever. He made more money just in the Mexico Open than he did his entire career, like over 150 starts. You know, I always used to, you know, kind of maybe just whatever when a guy like that has a chance to win. And more when I realize what a life-changing event it is for the individual, like, I love rooting for something like that. And I know people are like, well, I never heard of him. Like, I'm not invested. But, like, I was rooting hard for Campbell to win there just because I know that, like, it changes his life. He's got his card now for the next 2 years to play every event of the PGA Tour that he wants. He gets into the Masters. He gets into all the majors. So, I mean, the fact that he's been playing for years and years and years, lost his card, had to go back to the Korn Ferry Tour, and then, you know, he basically knows he lost the golf tournament. He hit what looked like on Shot Tracer like a bad slice, like you or I would hit. And it hits the trees, and it hits the cart path, and it ends up back in play. And then he hits his third shot on the par five, like, to 3 feet, and ends up winning it. So pretty, pretty cool story. A great shot of him and his girlfriend. Like, his girlfriend ran out, and they had a great look on the green of them embracing. So, yeah, it was a fun story, but a little bit more recognizable field this week if you tune in and watch it.
Thank you, Brian. We'll be listening to Tee to Green.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
A good sign. Golf season is around the corner. Tee to Green is back on Saturday mornings here on WGR. 803-0550 is our phone number if you want to chime in on the Sabres. Operation 10 straight. Carolina is going to be a tough one. Joe, 2 wins ago in Sabres at Carolina history is 2014.
Wow. Is that the tank? Or the year before?
Boy, what happened? Gerby scored, I guess. He was all over the ice, and
that was probably the year before then.
Yeah, I mean, Enroth, that's the one I think where they're trying to make a rush to get in, and they just miss that
year. 14 is 14's, either...
That's pre-tank. Oh, no, you're right.
But that's the Reinhardt year, and they're really bad also.
Yeah.
There's two. Yeah, 14 is going to involve a dead last team.
This is 2013-14. It's early. It's October 14th of 2014. They won in a shootout. So that's 2 wins ago on the road in Carolina. The last one was 2016.
Yeah, not a building that I like to think about previous games in.
No, not at all.
Just for other reasons, too.
Sal checks in at 7 o'clock from the Combine with the latest. Jeremy and Joe, we've got more big names out there in the NFL world. And the biggest story in the NFL world, I can't decide if the NFL wants us to believe it, even though it's kind of not really what everybody thinks it is. This Hawkeye technology lie is a little strong for me, Joe, but you have to explain to me why everyone is intentionally missing what is actually happening. Every NFL insider seems to be spinning it a way that it's not. I can't understand why. You can tell me if you want. That's coming up here on WGR.